Welcome to week 20 for our sermon series, Tattoo My Soul, which comes to us, this idea of tattooing our soul from Deuteronomy 11. You know it. I hope you love it. It says, write my words on your heart and in your soul. Do whatever it takes to remember what I'm telling you. And then it gives us these beautiful examples of ways that we can remember what God is telling us. We can read his words as a way of remembering. We can write his words as a way of remembering. We can discuss them like we do in small groups. We can wear them on our clothes, some of us on our flesh. We can live God's words. We can do what they say. And all of these are ways to remember what he's saying. And then he says, if you do this, I'm going to bless you. If you read this book and just do what it says, just try to do what it says, I'm going to bless you. And as we have been asking God for personal words, personal verses from the Bible to live by, to walk in for the year, we've already seen the blessings unfolding. Last week, I was going to give today's sermon, but God said, no, I have been moving. I've been blessing already. Many of you are already reading and doing what my word says, and I'm being true to my word. I'm blessing, and so I want you to talk about that. And I shared 7 testimonies from students in this room of how they've seen God bless them as a result of their obedience, as a result of reading and doing what God says. If you missed last week, go to woodsedge.org/students and find last week's sermon and listen. It's profound, the way that God is moving in your midst. It is praiseworthy. We should talk about it. And if you don't have something miraculous yet in your life, be encouraged. Read this book. Do what it says. He's going to bless you. So, this week, I felt led to share my life verse. It's appropriate, I think, that this is the 20th week that we've talked about writing God's words in our heart and that he blesses, that I would share my 2020 life verse with you guys. You know that every year since 2008, I've been asking for one. I put it on myself. My memory stinks. I need an all-day, everyday visual cue. And this year, I've already got my verse, 2 Chronicles 15. And I wanted to share it with you, but I don't want to just share it because it's for me. I got it from the Bible. The Bible's not God's word just to Justin. It's to all of us. And so as I share 2 Chronicles 15, and actually several scriptures with you today, I again exhort you, I encourage you, listen to every word of God today as though he were speaking to you. And I really want to prime you guys. I want to prepare you guys. God has something profound, personal, encouraging to say to every one of you. And right now, just go ahead and grab that piece of paper, grab that note card, and just have it ready. Who knows if it's not 2 Chronicles 15:3 or something from Zechariah or something from Psalm 118, all of which I'll read today, that just hits you. And you're like, that is what I need. And so when it hits you, write down that encouraging word or idea and just own it. I just want to read you guys my quiet time from the day after I got my verse for the year. The day I got it was just kind of all over the place. God gave me a word and I just had too much. But the next day, I went back and I just really started to process what my life verse said. And so I just want to read you my whole quiet time real quick from January 2nd, 2020. Good morning, Father. Thank you for today. Before stepping into the new year, I feel led to reflect on the last one. I feel that you gave me 2 verses last year, Job 19 and Zechariah chapter 3. I felt Job was what we would walk through in 2019 and that Zechariah would be the reward. And then I just wrote out Zechariah word for word, the entirety of chapter 3. And as I read this, these are God's words to me and to you. And if something grips your heart, own it, receive it, cling to it. Zechariah 3, 1 through 10 says, the angel showed me Joshua, the high priest, And I feel like I was Joshua last year, and I feel like you are Joshua right now. Put yourself in his position. The angel showed me Joshua, the high priest, and he was standing before the angel of the Lord. That's Jesus, and they're in heaven. And then the angel showed me the accuser, Satan, and he was right there at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Joshua. And then the Lord said to Satan, "I, the Lord, reject your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. This man, this daughter, this son is like a stick that was burning, and I grabbed it. I rescued it from the fire." Now, Joshua's clothing was filthy as he stood before the angel, and so the angel said to the other angels standing there, "Remove his filthy clothes." And then turning to Joshua, he said, "Look, I have taken your sins away." And then he said, "Now I am giving you these fine new clothes." Now, as the witness, I said, "Hey, they should also place a clean turban on his head." And so they did. They put a clean priestly turban on his head, and then they dressed him in new clothes from head to toe while the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord spoke very solemnly to Joshua. He had just rescued him from sin. He had basically slapped the devil in the face and said, "Get out of here." And then after he dressed him in new robes of forgiveness and love and authority, he said to Joshua, he's saying to you solemnly, this is what the angel of the heaven's armies says: "If you follow my ways and carefully serve me, if you read this book and obey it," essentially is what he's saying, "then you will be given authority over my temple and its courtyards." We know, as people that live in New Testament times, Jesus already having died for our sins times, that the temple of God is not this building, and it's not the church next door. We are the temple of God. And so for him to say, "If you read my book and do what it says, I'm going to give you authority over your body, over your mind," which we all wrestle with sometimes. And then he said, "I will give you authority over its courtyards. I will give you authority over your mind and your body and your life and all the things that your life is involved in. And I will let you walk among those other angels standing here. If you read this book and obey it, I'm going to give you authority over your mind and over your soul and over your life and over your relationships. And I'm going to let you walk among angels." That's awesome. I want that, not just for me, but for every one of you. And the way to get it is just read this book and do what it says. "Listen to me, O Joshua, and all you other priests. You are symbols of things to come. Soon I am going to bring my servant, the branch. Now look at the jewel that I've set before Joshua, a single stone with seven facets, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and I will remove the sins of this land in a single day. And on that day, says the Lord of heaven's armies, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit with you peacefully under your own grapevine and fig tree." What a miraculous, just fascinating account of what God does for his people, the blessings he gives. I responded to this in my quiet time, "Lord, this promise that you made to me, that I feel you've made to the whole student ministry, has been lingering just under the surface all year long. And I see rescue here and refreshment and revival. And I know these words are from you. And so I know that these words are true. And I believe that they are the exclamation point at the end of a long season of suffering. They are a picture of what you do for every sufferer who survives. And I believe that they are the doorway to the more explicit instructions that you have given me for 2020. And then I begin to write out 2 Chronicles 15 again. And it begins, "The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from the battle. 'Listen to me, Asa,' the prophet shouted. 'Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you.'" My life verse for 2020 is 2 Chronicles chapter 15, the whole thing. And the chapter begins with this godly king returning from a great battle. That's how I feel. That this past year, I was been in a battle akin to what our sister shared a moment ago of having to be persecuted and forgive my persecutors, but the battle has been won. Those of you who were at Freedom Friday night, you got a first row seat of how the battle has been won. And so this king is returning from the battle, and he's not perfect, he's a good king, and he does his best to read God's word and obey it. That's it. That's all, and that's enough. And he's returning from this battle, and God sends a prophet to remind the king of a few things. And as I share these reminders that we just read, I want you to be listening for yourself. Don't just be like, yeah, Justin really needs to work on that, which I do. I want you to listen for you. Here's the first reminder that we see the man of God give the child of God. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. I can't read that and not think of our sermon series verse, Deuteronomy 11. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. That's simply put, if you read God's words, if you write God's words, if you do what they say, he's going to bless you. If you stay with him, he's going to stay with you. He's going to bless you. And again, I asked last week and I ask today, do you believe that? Do you have that mustard seed of faith, just a scrap enough to believe that God will bless you if you will simply read this book and obey it? And if you don't, again, I beg you, go listen to last week's testimonies from people who are even now sitting in this room of how God has been miraculously showing up in your midst as a result of reading this book and obeying it. We had 7 testimonies, and there are so many more. I've got a list of testimonies. I got added testimonies from last service of the way God is showing up miraculously in your midst. He healed a student miraculously Saturday night at Freedom. Another student on Sunday morning, as well as many other students for the year, have been seeing spiritual things in this room during sermons and worship, seeing angels in this room. I long for that. I've never seen that. But when they come up and they're just like, I don't even know what's happening, but like right there, angels sitting up here in the truss, angels were just singing with us. Like, I believe it. I believe it. God does that kind of thing all through Scripture. So many of you, like never before, it's not just some simple thing that you ask God to give me a verse and you open your Bible by faith or receive a word in your mind and it's like, that is exactly what I need. That's supernatural. That's God himself speaking to you. That's miraculous. Prayers are being answered like the day of. That's miraculous. God is keeping his word. He's blessing us because we're reading this book and we're obeying it. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. When I first read that, when I got my life verse, I immediately was like, oh, that's like totally reminds me of a movie I saw, which I'm sure you guys are familiar with, which I want to show you a clip of. And as you watch this clip, I want you to just like, the main guy in the clip, that's you when you're praying. That's you in the spirit realm, so long as you stay with the Lord. As we play this clip, you listen to the first thing that he starts to talk about before he opens a can on these other dudes. Check this out.
Let him pass in peace. Let them pass in peace.
The Force is with me, and I am with the Force. And I fear nothing, for all is as the Force wills it.
Hey, stop right there. He's blind. Is he deaf? I said stop right there.
Is your foot all right? Shot me.
You're welcome.
Are any of you guys like me? I said this last service, but I feel it just as much. When you watch a scene like that, like you just want to fight somebody right now? Anybody? Nobody? I see one hand. It's my people. All right. I love what he said. It so lines up with what we're talking about. The Force is with me, and I am with the Force. I fear nothing, for all is as the Force wills it. You could just change that statement so simply and say exactly what we're talking about today. The Lord is with me, and I am with the Lord, and so I fear nothing, for all is as the Lord wills it. And the Lord has said to me, read my book and obey it, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to empower you to do things that are going to blow your own mind. You could be blind and facing an enemy force, and you will have no problem taking them out because I am with you as long as you stay with me. It's that easy, you guys. Stay with God this year. Stay with your life verse. Stay with this book, and he will bless you. Seek him, and you will find him. But there's a warning. If you abandon him, he's going to abandon you. And that's a tough pill to swallow. That's a hard thing to hear. That's like, why couldn't it just be, stay with me and I'll stay with you and everything's good? Why that grim warning at the end? It's because God is a good father. He's the best father. And from the perspective of a father of three, I will tell you, a good father will never bless bad behavior. He will bless and bless and bless good behavior. He is hungry to bless the good behavior of his kids. But if my 8-year-old gets frustrated at my infant son and knocks him down, I'm not going to bless that. I'm not going to reward that. And in the same way, God won't either. He doesn't want to bless us when we are behaving poorly because it might make us think, oh, I can get away with this. I can do this. I can look at that. God will not bless bad behavior, but he wants to bless good behavior. Even now, maybe you want to just say a quick prayer to the Lord. Where are you being disobedient? Where do you know in your heart, as I'm talking about, God will not bless bad behavior? Are you like, yeah, that thing over there, that thing back there, I know that's not good for me. I know that's not inviting blessings. I just feel very deeply, I'm supposed to say this right now, I know that not forgiving that person is hurting me. Whatever your sin, whatever your disobedience that God can't bless, you can change that right now. Maybe right now on your prayer card or just between you and Jesus, pray, Lord, I confess that this sin, that this unforgiveness, that this lust, that this idolatry, it's hurting me, and I confess it, and I admit it. Please help me. Please help me leave that in this room before I leave here. That's all he's waiting for. That's pulling back the veil. That's opening the door into blessings. But as I have too often done, if you're just like, I don't want to do that, that's a picture of you. That's a picture of me abandoning God's ways, and he's not going to bless it. And he might actually discipline you pretty hardcore for it if that's what it takes to get your attention, because he loves you too much to let you sit in that bad behavior. If we abandon God and this book and these words of life, he will let us reap the consequences so that when we return to him and seek him and find him, we can know, oh my God, this is so much better. 2 Chronicles 15 continues, for a long time, Israel was without God. They didn't do what he said. They knew the right thing to do and they ignored it. And so, as a result, for a long time, Israel was without God. They were without a priest to teach them. They were out without the book to instruct them. But whenever they were in trouble and they turned to seek the Lord, they always found him. They could be going the opposite direction from God, but as soon as they admitted, I want God, and looked for him, they found him. That's good news. During those dark times, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the people of all the lands. Nation battered nation. City pummeled city. It was because of their disobedience that God allowed all these troubles. But you, who are devoted to being with God and searching for God, be strong and courageous, for your actions will be rewarded. That's King Asa. That's been me this past year. I know that's been many of you. I know life is hard. I know it doesn't feel safe. I know it feels like every time you turn around, you get punched in the face by the devil or in reality. But keep reading this book. Keep obeying it. Your patience is just about to pay off. Your actions will be rewarded. That line right there, you who are devoted to being with God, to searching for God, be strong and courageous, your actions will be rewarded. While the entirety of 2 Chronicles 15 is for me, that's what I tattooed, and even several of the chapters around it, it's that line, 2 Chronicles 15, verse 7, that is my life verse. That's the heartbeat of what God is calling me to do this year. But it's not just for me. It's for all of us. For you that always make time to sit with me, that do your best to listen to me. Be strong. Be courageous. I'm going to reward it. Just hang on a little bit more. Our third reminder from this passage, from this word from God, is that we need to, in 2020, learn what it looks like for me, for you. How does it look for you to learn how to rely on God for your strength instead of other things? What does it look like for you to rely on God for courage instead of other things? What does it look like to rely on God to bless you, to reward your obedience in his time and not yours? What does that look like? That's the question I'm going to be asking myself. That's the question that you need to ask yourself. And I'll tell you, this is so personal for me. Because God knows, and I wager I'm not alone, that my greatest weakness as Justin Robert Ulmer, my greatest weakness as a human being on this planet that I have struggled with for years, that many of these verses directly speak to, as well as the new one this year, is that my greatest weakness is relying on people before God. My greatest weakness is that when I need help, I will too often run to people or an idol for help, for comfort, to numb my pain before I run to God. Hear me. It is a good thing to ask people for help. It is a good thing to go to your pastor, your counselor, your friend, your mom and dad and say, I need help. But we should never go to them before God. Because if we do, we're saying that mom, dad, friend, medicine, pot, pornography, whatever it is that we run to help ourselves, that is more powerful than the help we have available from the Lord. And God wants us all to learn a personal lesson. We need to learn how to go to God first. Even if going to God first is something you do on your way to ask for advice from someone. But even in that moment, you can say, God, I am freaking out. I don't know how to get away from this. I don't know how to deal with this. And so, Jesus, please help me. but I also need to get some advice. Even that is a good place to start, because at least you're asking the question. I know lots of people with a lot of influence. I have powerful friends, and so it is so tempting for me to go to people older than me, more powerful than me, more wealthy than me, and ask for help, because I'm like, well, they've made it, they've done it. But God is like, no, Justin, I want you to come to me first. Do you really think you know somebody more powerful than me? You could have the ear of the President of the United States and all the military might of America behind you, and it wouldn't be more powerful than what I can do for you. I need to do better at relying on God before people, and I would wager many of you need to do better at relying on God before, insert idol here. As of today, February 16th, 2020, we are 47 days into the new year. And the more I press into my verse, and the more I do life with you guys, the more I am undeniably faithful that God is about to do something miraculous in our midst. Those seven testimonies last week, the one I'm going to share in a few minutes, they are small potatoes compared to what God wants to do. Because He wants to do something that only He can take credit for. He wants to move on our behalf in a way that is impossible for you guys to say, that's because Pastor Justin gave that sermon, and so that's why that happened. Or, man, that night of worship was so powerful, and that's why it happened. Man, my gift was used so richly, and that's why it happened. No, God wants to do something in our midst that makes it so clear that every single one of us will only be able to say, that was Jesus all day. No human can take credit for what just happened. And what has He asked us to do to prepare the way? What has He asked us to do to usher that in? Two things. Lay down your idol, whatever it is that you're putting before you and God, whatever you're relying on to comfort you or strength, put that down for the month of February. And if you haven't done that yet, it's still February. Start today. I know this is hurting me. I'm going to set it down for just 1 month. And then pick up in its place this book and read it and do it and see how God might bless us. God is preparing us, helping us in those two things. Lay down the idol, pick up the word to become more reliant on Him. Just try it for 1 month and see. I guarantee if you even give it 20%, you're going to see a result. You give it 50%, you're going to be like, this works. You give it 100% and you will say, I am never going back to the way I did things before. This is too good. This is too rich. There are two scriptures that have been reinforcing this idea for me lately personally that I felt led to share with you. Again, not because they speak to me. I think they're going to speak to you. If you hear a word or a one-liner as I read God's words to you this morning that grips you, that encourages you, write it down. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire, by idolatry, by running to X, Y, or Z before Jesus. God wants to teach us how to rely on His promises, His book, His word more than ever before this year. And it will require of you and me, lay down your idol and pick up this book. That's it. That's all. Psalm 118. This so ministered to me this week, you guys, as I was sitting at Starbucks and I just opened to this, which I've opened to it before. It's right there, the biggest one. I spent a year in it and it refreshed me and ministered to me like I'd never read it before. I want to read it to you. I want to read it over you. I want you to hear it not from Justin, but from God in heaven who loves you. And if you hear something that grips you, own it. Grab it. Take hold of it. Don't leave this room without it. Psalm 118. God, every single one of you should resonate with this. Out of my deep anguish and pain, I prayed. And God, you helped me as a father. You came to my rescue. You broke open the way into a beautiful, broad place. And now I know, Lord, that you are for me, and I will never fear what man can do to me again. For you stand beside me as my hero who rescues me. I've seen with my own eyes the defeat of my enemies. I've triumphed over them all. Lord, it is so much better to trust in you to save me than to put my confidence in someone or something else. It is so much better to trust in the Lord to save me than to put my confidence in people with influence. Once I was hemmed in, I was surrounded by those who don't love you. But by your supernatural power, I overcame them all. Yes, they surrounded me like a swarm of killer bees. I was trapped like one trapped by a raging fire. I was surrounded with no way out at the point of collapse. But by your supernatural power, I overcame them all. They pushed me right up to the edge, and I was ready to fall, and together you and I overcame them all. Lord, you are my true strength and my glory song, my champion and my savior. God wants to teach us how to rely on his word more than ever before this year, and God wants to teach us how to rely on him, his rescue, his blessings more than ever before. The only thing you have to do to facilitate that, to prepare yourself for that, lay down your idol and pick up the living and active word of God. Spend some time in it every day and see if he doesn't start blessing you miraculously. What can we expect to gain by obeying God? What might these blessings look like at first? Well, Philippians 4 says, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. What a blessing. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength. That's what God wants to teach you this year. Despite your circumstance, despite your situation, whether it is a year of celebration for you and the temptation to become proud and self-reliant, or it's a year of devastation for you and you are broken and humble, God wants to teach you in all things you are more than conquerors. You've got all that you need because Jesus loves you. Why is God blessing us? Why are these testimonies showing up? Why is he encouraging take another step towards me? It's because he wants us to remember, no matter what it takes, he's with us, he's for us, he's going to bless us. You stay with God this week, this month, this year. He's going to stay with you. He's going to bless you. I promise. I beg you to give him a shot. I beg you to read your Bible this week like never before and just see what happens. We fear nothing because God said, I will bless you if you read this book and obey it. 2 Chronicles 15 continues, when Asa heard this message, when you heard this message, when I heard this message, he took courage. He took it. It was offered. He took it, and he removed all the detestable idols from the land. He didn't settle for just his main struggle. He took all of them away. He got rid of everything. He burned them to the ground, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. When God's kid heard God say, I'm with you, I'm for you, if you obey me, I'll bless you. He received it. He took courage, and he did what God was calling him to do. Tear down, get rid of your idols, and rebuild your relationship with me by obeying my words. And then he didn't just receive the blessings for himself. He led God's people into a season of fearless worship, great blessings, signs and wonders, and contentment over the land. It was one of the most glorious seasons of God's people anywhere in the Bible. All because one person said, I'm going to read this book, I'm going to do what it says, and see what happens. And man, you should read the rest of this chapter and see what happens. Charlie and company, you guys can take the stage. We're going to respond to what God has said. I'm going to share one last piece of scripture and a testimony to prepare you for our response. The last bit of 2 Chronicles 15 that we will read today comes from verse 9. Asa called together all the people of the land, the locals, the foreigners, for many from Israel had moved to Judah during Asa's reign when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. That is a picture of what you can expect. That is a picture that's one of the key results of obeying God and doing what it says. That's one of God's key purposes in blessing us when we obey God and do what this book says. It's that we are to share the blessing with others. All these people saw, man, God is with her, God is with him, and they came toward, and that person then blessed them in turn, took what God gave them and shared it. I want to share a testimony of what that looks like, and it's one. But there are many of you that already have a testimony of what that looks like. You have heard God speak through his word. You've received an answer to prayer. You've witnessed, you've felt the power of God in this room or outside of this room in the last month. That's something God has blessed you with to share. God's blessings don't exist just for me and just for you, but for all. Here's this testimony from a student that came up to me after service last weekend. It's Sunday. It's 12:30. I've just stepped off the stage, and this student comes up to me and just says, I'm wrecked. I don't want to be here anymore. I've been wrestling so much this week with fear, with a sense of the world would be better off without me. And that's where I was when I woke up this morning. And I was thinking some really dark stuff. And I went to Starbucks on the way to church. And I set my coat down on a chair, and I'm standing in line to get coffee. And even as I stood in line, I'm like, why do I even want coffee? Like, that's how desperate and despairing they were. They were even, like, blaspheming Starbucks. They're like, why do I even care to have coffee to make me feel awake? Because my life feels so empty. And they return to their chair, and they pick up their coat. And in their coat, on their hip, they feel a weight in the pocket of the coat they've been wearing all morning. They had only left their coat on that chair for a moment. So they reach into their pocket, and they pull out a stone that had just appeared in the pocket of their jacket. This student, who was feeling hopeless, had laid their jacket down alone in that store for a moment. And on that stone was the word hopeful. That is not a coincidence. Even if it was a human being that put that stone, how did they know that this stranger that walked in needed a reminder? Be hopeful. Don't give up. Take courage. Take strength. You're not alone. That student picked up that stone and felt as sure as you can feel that reminder was straight from heaven, straight from Jesus Christ. An angel in their mind had come into that store invisibly and dropped that reminder right in their pocket. And when they saw that word, they took it. They received it. They wrote it on their soul. And as amazing as that is, what I love even more is what they did with it next. They came here, and they listened to the sermon, and they heard me share. I have been feeling hopeless lately. I have been struggling too. I am not perfect by any means. And as they came forward and shared that testimony, they said, as soon as you said you were feeling hopeless, I knew that this was just as much for you as me. And they gave me, they're like rock from heaven. They gave me the word that God had given to them. Like, they knew that Jesus Christ had given this to them and immediately just gave it away. That is what we're talking about here. Receiving blessings from heaven and immediately sharing them with others. You know what's really cool about that? Is that when you share what God gives you, you're like letting something go. You're making room for more. You have no idea. I can't put into words what it meant to me that less than an hour after having this supernatural experience that this student would give me this stone. Like, I'll be honest, as a human being, as Justin, I'd be like, I'm never putting this down again. And they just gave it away. That's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants us to receive from him and then give away so that the blessings that he's going to give us this year are not just for us. I feel like this week you have an opportunity to bless somebody supernaturally. And if you do, it's just making room for more, because he said, I'm going to do more than you can ask or imagine. I would love if all of you just reached in your pocket right now and had a rock just appear. Anybody? No? It's all right. I love that you looked. But I just believed in my heart as I wrote this sermon that I was supposed to help you have one. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for us in just a moment. But all across the front and all across the back are these beautiful black river rocks. Nice smooth stones fit right in your pocket. I'm going to invite you guys in a moment to come up here. And as we have done in the past, we've written words that we want to let go of. We've written sins, and then we've just gotten rid of them. I want you to write a word of encouragement. I want you to write a word of power. I want you to write a word that God himself has been giving you during this sermon, and I want you to write that on that stone and put it in your pocket and carry it this week and just remember, this is how God sees me. This is how God loves me. This is what God is and will be doing for me. Many of you may already have that word as you've listened to the sermon. Maybe it's encouragement. Maybe it's hope. Maybe it's, I love you. Maybe it's just, you're my son. You're my daughter. I don't know what it is, but you do. And if you don't, let's pray. And let's invite Jesus by faith to come and speak a word, a statement of power and encouragement. And as you receive it, know that let that be written on your heart. The stone, it's just an accessory. It's just a symbol of things to come. Bow your heads. Jesus, we invite you by faith to invade not just this room, but us. Not just this temple we're sitting in, but us. You have words of encouragement, of strength, of identity to speak into us, onto our hearts, throughout our souls, right now. Would we all just picture ourselves at the foot of your throne, hands up, palms up, Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, speak a word of life to me. Tell me how you see me. Give me a word of identity or purpose. Write it deep in my soul.